Rav to Perek Yud Gimel. I want to thank the Parnosim. First, we have the Parnos HaShavua sitting right here, Chaim Rieder and Daniela. The Ilu Nishmas, a very special young woman who I was zeichet to know. So Yuta, Aleh HaSholem, Basar Fahim, Menachem, Menla, and Dina. And the Shom Shav and Ali, and the whole family shall be Simcha, Nachas, and Brochem. And also the Parnos Hayom, the Lauber Mishpacha, should be a schus for a foolish shleima for Sarah Leah Bas Rivka, who's having a very serious operation, I think, now. And everything should go well and should be successful, and she should have a foolish shleima for Sarah Chalei Yisrael. Okay, let's learn. And of course, to thank the Chevrat Meridian, Jeff and Ralph and the whole Chevrat Meridian for all the years and for now. Let's learn. We're on Perek Yud Gimel. I hope the parak is called Ha'or Mishamayim. You have Perek Yud Gimel? Ha'or Mishamayim? It's your days in there? Okay, it's either your days or your Gimel. Ha'or Mishamayim. Now, this is really what we've been waiting for over the last couple of weeks. And I hope it's not a disappointment, but it shouldn't be, because we're learning Torah and we're Maminim and we're trying our best to believe in every word that has been revealed to us through Chazal and the Tzaddikim. And what we've been waiting for is to hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So far, it's only been about us talking to him, right? And I'm sure that just like myself, every one of you has been waiting to hear from him. And as a people, we're waiting to hear from him. And our tefillos are filled with bakashas. We begin in the morning when we say Matov. Lekim Brov Chazdach. Aneini beemes. Aneini beemes Hashem. All our davening is Aneini. Answer me. Now, answer me. Answer me. Of course, can mean there's something that I need, and could you answer this need that I have? So I really could use a couple of dollars. Aneini beemes Hashem. I could use a refuah. Aneini beemes Hashem. But it also means in a very simple way, Aneini, I really would like to hear from you. And there are many, many, the whole tilm is to hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Achinat HaKel Mestata, Hashem is very silent. Mi Chamocha Be'elim Hashem, you know, Chazal take the word Be'elim, who is like you of all the gods? And they take the word Elim and they add one letter that makes it very, very hard for us. Mi Chamocha, what? Be'elim, who is as silent as you. The word Nila means somebody got to be who can't talk, but it means who is as silent as you. The whole world is making fun of you. The whole world is saying that you don't exist or that you're this and you're that. And you don't say anything. You watch your children getting beaten and insulted and such a long time. And Zugap is something. So the silence of Hashem is something which obviously is hurtful. It's hard for us to deal with. It's been a long time since we had Nevi'im. And it hurts a lot. But then when it comes to the avodah of hisbodedus, where a person takes seriously what we're learning, this is very serious stuff. We've been learning from the beginning. This is the way to daven from the beginning of time. This is it. This is the strongest connection we could possibly make to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when you make a very strong connection, then obviously you're expecting a response. If you make a weak connection, you know how it is. If you send out, like you send a message to a friend of yours, hey, you have some time to talk, and you don't hear from him for a day. So, you know, you might get a little bit annoyed, but if you would send him a message that would say, you know, Maishi, I'm dying. And he calls you back like in a week later, he says, what's this about you dying? it means you ought to have different friends. It's not the right friend. So there are urgent messages and there are lesser urgent messages. So when a person is entering into the world of his bodhus, it means that he's stepping up with a more intense, authentic, personal, intimate davening, then obviously it's not the same thing like when that you and I have been doing since we're in the world, where sometimes with not even remembering the words you just said, you know, you're just mumbling Not that God forbid we should say it that way, but it happens, right? So you leave a message like Yishtabach, you don't necessarily expect to get a message back. If you're Yishtabach, what kind of message do you want to get back? Like, what were you expecting? There wasn't anything particularly urgent in your Yishtabach. I didn't hear anything very earth-shattering in Yishtabach. So, no, I'll answer you after 120. I'll answer you after 120. What? Right. So, you know, for such a message, you know, for such a... I'll answer you some other time. Or you get just pushed away, right? But if a person is already in the parish of his bodhis, and you're coming with such a thing, and you're taking time, and it's not just regular and shul davening, which is itself a great thing, but you're taking time, and you go, and you start to pour your kishkas out, and say, here I am, I'm coming to you, I'm talking to you. So then to get either nothing, and you keep on checking your phone, and there's nothing, that hurts. It's hard. Like not to get a response. Anania. I'm calling out to you. So the person who's in the avod of his bordas is going to feel more pained by that silence. It's natural. Because he cares more. He's trying more to have a relationship. And when you're trying very hard to have a relationship and you don't feel like there's any reciprocation, that hurts. So this is really what lies at the bottom of much of the trouble that we have bechlal, with davening, u'befrat with his bodus, prote protem, with our whole Yiddish guy. It's a problem. And this has been something that my mother, she should be well, told me many years ago, that the hardest thing for her in the war was when they were still in Auschwitz, and there were American planes that were flying over every day, and they were still taking them to the, at that point they were still taking them to the Geshem, and there were American planes that were flying over, and my mother said they would stand there and they would just start screaming, like my mother says, drop a bomb, just drop a bomb, and Hashem. You already sent the planes to our neighborhood. They're here. Like, why can't this end? My mother said that was for her the hardest thing. And when there was nothing there, so they said, no, fafal. But then they see the planes coming. Every day, they're flying over, American planes, and everybody's screaming, all of them screaming. Nothing. It's an urgent message, and it hurts when you're not answered. Every one of us has had that disappointment, and feels that disappointment. So, now we're Maminim, therefore it can't be that Hashem is not answering us. It can be. But as I mentioned last week, just like you have this famous book that was written, I haven't read it, but it's supposed to be a very, very good book. Maybe I should read it. I just haven't gotten around to it. I don't really get much time for reading this stuff. But I think it's called The Five Languages of Love or something like that. Is that the correct title? Five?
Love languages.
Yeah. So it's a very, very big seller. Obviously, people want to improve. They want to have better relationships. And what I was told is that the yesod of that book is that you have people that they do love each other. It's just they're speaking a different language. So you could have a husband and wife where she might be more expressive, and his way of showing love is like, you know, to do something for her. And they both love each other. It could be he loves her even more than she does. But that's not his opinion. No, it's not. Dibur is not his inyan. That's her inyan. His inyan is doing things, taking care of things. That's how he shows love. So there are different languages of love, and that's true. That's a very, very, very big yesod. That's true. I don't know how the book develops any of that. So I'm not saying any like haskam on the book. I don't know, but that which I heard is what I was told is the yesod of the book is a true yesod. Can't argue with that. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hard to understand. He's hard to hear. It doesn't mean that he's not talking to us. But we don't hear him in the way that we normally hear things. We don't hear it in that way. So let's learn a little bit. There's much, much more than that's in this parak. The tzaddik that wrote the Sefer was a very big rest of a chassid. And it's written very much through that particular that particular lens, that world of the tzaddik of Rabbi Nachman, which is very, very beautiful and very deep. There are some additional things, but at least we'll get started. The Torah Reish Nun Tes, Kosev Rabbeinu. In Reish Nun Tes, Rabbi Nachman says, we saw this. Kishodam misboided umafarish sichaso vetzarul of Hashem esbar. When a person goes to his bodhus and he talks over with Hashem what's hurting him, his tsar, what's hurting him, umisvade, and he also does the other things that one should preferably do during his bodhus. He says vidui, he talks about some mistakes that he's made, he comes clean. And he expresses his regret, his remorse for things that he did that he shouldn't have done. So Menachem reveals a very deep thing. It's an amazing thing. And it, like all that he taught, it's rooted in the Chazal, in the Zohar Kodesh, Chazal. Oz gam ha-shechina kenegdo. Then the Shechina also. Mefereshes lefanav sichasa v'tzara. Then the Shechina pours her heart out. The Shechina, pours her heart out and shares her tzar. Her tzar. He called pagam upagam b'nishmoso pagam etzla. Because any pain that a Jew is feeling, the Shechina also feels. Imanochi b'tzar. The Shechina also feels. Anything that you and I are hurting from, the Shechina also. We don't mean, of course, Chasom, Akash Baruch Hu, and Etzem, his unknowable essence. You know. That's not what we're talking about. But how Hashem made the world and how he expresses Kivyochel, his presence, in a way that human beings can relate to. So he's saying, Oyli Miroishi, like the Gemara says, Oyli Mirzai, my head is hurting me, my arm is hurting me. And when Chazal tells that, it wasn't even about a tzaddik that died or spats, not its son. And Hashem says, oy, leave me, this hurts me, gevald. So Ibn Achmed said that when you sit down and you express the tzara that you have, what you're going through, the difficulties, you say vidui, and you're honest, and you come in a real way to talk to Hashem, I'll go up, you say, the truth is like, I did these things, these are bad things, and here they are, I'll base gimel dal, and to say over stuff. Oz gam ha-shechina kenegdo, then the Shechina also, mefareshes lefanav sichasa v'tzar. Then the Shechina talks to you and explains to you also her tzar. Ki kol pagam u pagam b'nishmoso pagam etzla. Because any pagam, anything that's wrong, or any pagam, any blemish, any problem that you or I feel inside of us, that we have, with even the things that we've done wrong, it means it's a pagam etzla, the kivyachal, the Shechina is suffering from that as well. That doesn't mean that the Shechina has sinned, but it means that the Shechina is suffering kivyachal from that chisar, that emptiness, that light that you have to give, and that light is not being given properly. It's not, you're not functioning in a healthy way because of these mistakes that we've made in our lives. Then kivyachol, v'hi menachemes also. And not only that, Rabbi Nachman says that he menachemes also, that the Shechina consoles you. She cries with you. V'chol tzarosom lo tzar, lo the way that we say it with a vav. V'chol tzarosom lo tzar, that in all of our suffering, lo tzar, lamed vav. Hashem has that tzar. That's with the ayin. But Hashem is, means it's essentially the same thing. Hashem is in that hard place. It's hard. The Shechina. And v'him nachem is also. And she comforts and consoles you. And together, it's like you cry on each other's shoulders. Like Yosef and his brothers. Like Yosef and Binyamin. He cries together. Which is that, that's what that in here is, Yosef and his brothers. And the Shechina suggests to you and talks to you about ideas that might help you to repair these things that you've messed up in your life. Now, this is like a lot in this sentence here. Yeah? There's a lot. Rabbi Nachman. So those are the words in Rishon and Tess. So Rav Carmel writes, Dvarim Eilu lo nemru rak letzadikim aron pnei shechina. So the first thing a person is going to, after you read such a thing, you say, well, okay, this is about a big tzaddik, maybe when he's going through a hard time. Some great tzaddik. Like, you know, when Yirmiyahu HaNavi is crying about the churban or something, but this is not me. We know that whatever Rabbi Nachum is saying, sometimes he says, very often he'll say, the tzaddik. He'll talk about the tzaddik. He doesn't say that over here. He doesn't say, kisha tzaddik mizbode. He says, kisha odom. Kisha odom. So it's not only for tzaddikim, haron p'nei shechina, like big tzaddikim, that they have this union with the shechina. Rabbi Nachman is saying this Torah, even the simple Jews, the type who are crying over things that they've messed up in their lives. And their sins, their aveyus, and how far they are from Hashem. So these are not people, these are regular Jews like us. These are not people who have visions of any sort. So they're not hearing words like, you know, a nevuah or having any revelations of nevius. This is regular people. All the shmos devei shechina, not people who are hearing things from the shechina. There were tzaddikim like that. There are tzaddikim like that, but just talking to regular people. It's talking to people who have their peklach, their veivus, whatever. Regular people. Ela sheyesh shmiya b'leiv. So then, what's Rabbi Nachman talking about? That the shechina is there, and the shechina not only does the shechina hear you, but she cries with you. And she shares with you her own pain. And she comforts you and gives you aces of how things can get better. Now here's where, you know, you might, if you're Chalila, a cynical type, but cynical people don't usually come to such a Shia. But a person who would be a cynical type would at this point start rolling his eyes and say, okay, here's where we go. With the, that you're hearing this, but you're not hearing it with your ears, you're hearing it with your heart. Which, of course, Rabbi Nachman is talking not about hearing something with your ears. He's not talking about hearing something with your ears. He's talking about hearing something in a much deeper way than one does with ears. Let's talk about the baskol in a second. Which doesn't mean that we're necessarily satisfied, so you could say, well, why don't you just talk to me regular? I want to hear regular. So maybe we could hear in a more regular way if we'd work on the first couple of million levels, and then we could hear something also like that. But shmiya b'leiv, elishiyeh shmiya b'leiv, there's a way that the heart listens. Ki perusha hayidush al balshamtiv. Amayim Chazal, like the famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, and what Chazal said, B'chol Yom, Yod says, Baskol, Mehar Chorev, which Chedva just mentioned, Baskol, that every single day Chazal tells us, a Baskol comes out from Har Sinai, from Har Chorev, Armeris, and says, Oy Librius, Melbon Shal Torah, Oy, 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 what are you going to do about the embarrassment of the Torah that I gave on Har Sinai, that Torah is embarrassed at how you're acting and so on. Or the Chazal say there's a Baskol that goes out and says every, it's the same thing. A Baskol goes out and says, Shuvu Banim Shavav. All of us, come back to me, my children, my children who are misbehaving. Come back to me. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh talks about that. And the Baal Shem Tov, of course, explains, we understand, that what do you mean? Who heard that Baas call? Have you heard the Baas call that says, Shuvah Ban Shavam, Shuvah Oilam Lubius Ban Shavam? A Baas call is coming from Sinai. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that it's not referring to hearing something with your ears, but hearing something with your heart. So he brings this down. I'll explain it a little bit more in a second. The Hikshah Baal Shem Tov L'Shema Yetzes Eisa Baas call. This is the Baal Shem Tov's Torah, which the Toldos brings down in Parshas V'Yikra. The Baal Shem Tov asked, why does that voice come out? Why is this Baas call coming out? Right? A tzaddikim says, Eichel Neshmo Baas call. Einim Tzrichim Neshmo Zos. The tzaddikim, who are on a level where they can hear Baas call, they don't have to hear Baas call. For them, it's enough that it says in Shulchan Aruch. They don't need to hear the tzaddikim. They don't need to hear Baas call. They're doing fine. Because why would Hashem, why would a Baas call tell the tzaddik, Oilucham, what's the matter with you? You're not keeping the Torah. Tzaddik's keeping the Torah. So the Baas call is obviously not for the tzaddik. Tzaddik is doing fine. He doesn't need the Baas call to tell him how to behave, what to do tshuva. He's fine. Now, Rishoyim should treat him to Shmoah. So who the Rishoyim need to hear this? Or Beinanim, other people need to hear this, not Tzaddikim. The Rishoyim need to hear this. And the Rishoyim, the Baal Shem Tov said, Einim Shem Muma. If you ask a Rasha, when is the last time you heard from Hashem? He laughs at you and walks away. So Tzaddikim don't need to hear, and the Rishoyim don't hear anything. Umataris, the Baal Shem Tov answers, he says, Shein ze shmir ba'ozen. Of course, it's not hearing with the ear. Rak bebchinas v'nasata la'avdecha lev shomea. Shlomo HaMelech asked Hashem. And Hashem is talking to the smartest person that ever lived. Shlomo HaMelech, smartest person in the world. And what is it that you want? What can I give to you? What would you want in life? So, a lev shomea. A heart that listens. That's a big thing. A heart that is able to hear. Hashmir b'leiv himasha adam shameya mevin kolet, or in Yiddish, dehert. Doesn't mean just to hear something. In Yiddish, to deher means to absorb in a deep, deep, real deep way, to deher. Hashmir b'leiv yimasha adam shemeh meivin koilet dehert. Vaz choyder b'libo, and there penetrates deep into his heart, I hear a tshuva. Hakarilo loshuv el Hashem. This person is able to hear with his heart a voice calling out to him from within his own heart, with his own voice within his heart, saying to him, Shuv, return to Hashem. Return to me. Come back. That's what the Baal says. Ke'ein ze hum nidun didan. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is talking about in Mishnah and Tess. That the Shechina listens and cries with you and so on. And the Shechina consoles you and gives you aces and helps you. So the tzaddik might not need any of that stuff. The Rosh Hashanah doesn't care about any of that stuff. But then there are people like in between that, like us. And someone like us who's feeling tzar. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is talking about. Adam, a person that's going through this. So Ke'en Zehu bin Nidun Didan, Ha'odam Shamea, Klaima Margish B'Liba Nuchav. The person is able to feel in his heart when he gets what Hashem, when he dehears, what Hashem is telling him, when he hears Hashem crying with him and consoling him. He's able to feel some nechama, or a lot of nechama. Tikva, hope. Ischaskas, chizik. Shebevardei yashvul min hashamayim, that he suddenly feels somehow intuitively, he has this feeling in his heart, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You can't explain it, seichel. His heart feels Hashem is going to watch out for me. Whatever it will be, it'll be. But Hashem is with me. It's okay. It'll be good. Being good doesn't mean it's going to necessarily turn out this way, that way. But I'm in Hashem's hands. I'm in Hashem's hands. One second. The Sakhan is Kumash itself, and Hashem will help me to fix what I have to fix. She Yiskel is Kavla, Hashem's Baruch Bemis, that I'll be Zoicha to come close to Hashem in a real way. Who Shamea Shashchina Shasavelas Gamhi. And he's able to feel or to hear in his heart that the Shechina is also in pain from this. Hashem is not laughing at you. Hashem is not making fun of you. Hashem is not ignoring you. But the Shechina is also Savelas. Savelas Sivlach, like you say in Nashanis, right? Savelas Sivlach. Hashem suffers your suffering. Savelas Sivlach. Tivakesh Tachbulos, the Sakin is called up Gom Shapogam Hodamba, Ubaatsman. And the Shechina is going to seek, and the Shechina is sharing with you some ideas about how you could make things better. And you begin to have a feeling of some way out, of something to do, of some Eitza. So there's the feeling of being heard, and then there's the hearing, then the hearing of the Shechina consoling you, that giving you chizuk, and even an Eitza about how to continue on to make things better in your life. And none of that happened with anything that would show up on a tape recorder, you know, in the room. None of that came out on tape. Now the Rosha, the heart is ice. The heart is closed. The Rosha. The tzaddik lives every moment in his life in this place of hearing. It doesn't have to be a special bas kol, but the regular person is not a Rosh and is not a Tzaddik. Or even if he's a Tzaddik, he's not such a madrega like that. But a regular person, he's able to hear with his heart. This is something that is deeply, deeply, deeply rooted in Tanakh and Chazal. This is not something that Rabbi Nachman came up with. Even the whole secret of Torah Shabbat Peh, of those two words, Toshma, come and listen, come and hear. But the Chacham, it's Reb Tzaddik, anybody who ever learned Reb Tzaddik Akoyin, you can't go a page in Reb Tzaddik without meeting this Lev Shomea, this heart that is hearing. Chazal were great intellectually. They were giants intellectually, but as great as they were intellectually, their hearts were kepischa shel ulam. Their hearts. We can't have a saga of the hearts. Chazal say that liban shel rishayna. The difference between earlier generations, how come they were zeichet for miracles, and the later generations? So the liban shel rishayna doesn't say the minds of the early ones. Liban shel rishayna, their hearts. Liban shel rishayna. And how Rabbi Kiva was zeicher to madrigals like that, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and how the Tanoim Namoroim, the Rishonim was zeicher to such madrigals. Yes, they were intellectuals, big intellectuals, but the hasogas they had were way beyond being a genius. They were hasogas of Toshma, come and hear, and even come and see. Tachazir Rabbi Shimon, come and see, akidekach, with such clarity, to see. Doesn't mean they saw Hashem, but to see. When something is very, very clear to you, say, I could see this in such a clear way. When you, to daher, to such a degree that it's crystal clear, ad kedekach, that you see it. It's not because it doesn't say anywhere, sichlam sharishan, or roisham sharishan, or moicham sharishan, the brain, the seichel, the head, liban sharishan, the heart of the early ones. We're open to doing tshuva. We're open to Hashem's voice. We're very sensitive to that frequency of Hashem, of the Shechina speaking within the heart of a person, speaking within the heart of a person. The whole Torah Shabbat Peh is based on, our Emunah in Torah Shabbat Peh is based on. The Chachamim were no longer at a time where they were hearing voices either. But Chazal do say, going back to Baskol, Chazal do say, Afopi and Bava Basra, Dafyud Beis, Afopi Shanitlan, the woman and the Vim. Even though prophecy has been taken from us, we still have access to that which is called the Baskel, which is loosely translated as an echo. It means the daughter of a sound. It means that Hashem speaks to us indirectly, not with a voice, but like an echo that comes off another surface. That's what an echo is. Hello, it goes, hello, there's not somebody else there, it's you. It's the same thing, it's the same voice, but it's going off of a surface. It's not direct, it's bouncing off a surface, that's why there's an echo. So a baskal, Ms. Tysus understands this in Sanhedrin, this is a Tysus points. A baskal is an echo, which means that Hashem is speaking to us, but he's speaking to us in different ways, and it's bouncing off of different surfaces. We're hearing it from different places. The most accurate way to read Hashem's voice is with a lev shomea, with a heart that is hearing, with a hearing heart. When the Chazal tell us that a dayan mishtam shabaskol, we still are able to have access to baskol. So Chazal gives an example of some individuals that are particularly adept at hearing baskol. You know, who are the people Chazal tell us are more likely to be, are more receptive, I guess that's the best word, are more receptive to baskol? Chachamim. That's what we're talking about, chachamim. The hearts. Chachamim. Children. Shaitan. Mishugam, crazy people. Women. Now, none of these, with the exception of the Chachamim, the other three, is there a requirement of any kind of an intellectual achievement? You all know that in those days, women were largely uneducated, so were men. They were uneducated. Children. Mishugayim is altogether, means there's unseichel, like anti-seichel. Geseichel gets in the way of this voice. That's the point. Children are not blocked. They're not cluttered with information, with other ways of hearing Hashem. That's why for a child it can be very, very clear that Hashem's like, you're okay with that. Women also, it's a certain pshitus, tmimus, that makes them more receptive. In other words, the more cluttered you're, the Reb Tzadik explained this in David Seder. The more cluttered you are, the more other sounds that are in you, the less likely you are to hear this voice of Hashem. It's the Gemara Yushalmi in Shabbos brings a pasuk from Navi Yeshaya. Aznechat eshmana dover me'acharecha. Remember, Chazal tell us that Mordechai wanted to know what was happening in Shemayim when the whole Gezeirah came out. So he went to hear the children when they were coming out of Cheder. And he asked the kid, Sarkli Psukecha, what did you learn today in Cheder? Mordechai would ask, what did you, also Haman also. So Mordechai asked, what did you learn in Cheder? So they said a pasuk. Mordechai heard from this, what the child said. He understood it as being a voice from Hashem. Even Haman understood, because he said, Utsu Eitzav Asuva David Oliok, that he's finished. So Mordechai understood that if you want a great source of baskol, talk to a kid, a little yeshiva bacher. Talk to the kid coming out of cheder. What did you learn today? The kid says, because they learned different psukim. This kid says, I learned this pasuk. Mordechai heard this. Hashem was speaking to him through that surface of the clear heart of a child. It's a remarkable thing. With adults, it's much harder because there's a lot of stuff that we have. Our hearts are very, very, we've hoarded all kinds of strange things. And the hearts are very heavy with stuff. And therefore Hashem is, the Shekhinah could be crying to you. The Shekhinah is crying with you. The Shekhinah is there, but you don't have a lev shomea because your heart is covered with so much. Besides, children don't have aveiros. Our hearts are very layers of tumma. Gayusha songs, pictures, whatever. The heart is all kinds of stuff. So the heart is not receptive to it. It's like an antenna, you know? If you don't have an antenna, it doesn't pick up the sound. A kid has like his antennas are up. A woman, the antennas are up also. The heart is not choluk, it's not as divided, it's more pashut. It's nothing to do with intelligence. Because the chachamim are also on the list, very smart people. So they're more receptive to it. The person that's less receptive. It all depends what you're open for. And children are very, very open that way. Very, very open. There's a famous story about that I've told many times over the years, that there was a woman that had a very difficult husband, and she went to complain to Reb Shalom Shodron, the great Baal Musa Reb Shalom. And she was crying to Reb Shalom that her husband, how he treats her. And she asked Reb Shalom, because Reb Shalom every day, between Mincha Ma'ariv, he gave some Musa. So she asked Reb Shalom, and her husband used to go there for Mincha Ma'ariv. So she asked Reb Shalom, can you put something about Shalom Bayis into the Shmuz? You know, he's terrible. So Absalom was very rough. Of course. So the next day, this guy comes, this misbehaving husband comes. And who else is there from Mincha Ma'ariv? Rabbi Zalman is there. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer is there. So Absalom starts to give Musa about Shalom Bayis. Guess who began to cry? Not that husband. Rabbi Zalman comes over after us to Absalom after Ma'ariv. He says, I'll try, Absalom. Other Rabbi, I'm going to work on it. Absalom, I know you were talking to me. What about the other guy? The other guy? Ma'ariv. You know the look, right? What time is Ma'ariv? But this is Alman the Tzaddik. I mean, it was special because him and his wife, it was almost like before in Gan Eden, because his Rebbe was they were unbelievable, the two of them. But so, and some tiny, whatever he was thinking, Rabbi Zalman, I don't know what, he didn't wish for good morning with all of his heart. I don't know what it was. So he's already crying, oh, you're Absol. He already heard a baskel, you understand, from Shemayim, that today Absol spoke to me about being a good husband. Because today I didn't say the best good morning, or I didn't thank my wife enough, whatever. And he's already hearing a baskel. The guy, the perpetrator, he's waiting for Ma'ariv. He couldn't care less about this shmuz. He just wants to get on with the day, finish up the day. It's interesting. So how do you explain such a thing? One voice, this one that hears, and the other one is oblivious. But you have that in every classroom. You have that in every marriage. You have that in every relationship. You have it all the time. It's a basco. It's a basco. I've mentioned many times as an example to explain this. I remember so clearly that it must be 35 years ago, maybe more. I was invited to talk to a whole chevra in Detroit. I remember it was Tu B'Shvat, freezing cold over there. I remember, and I went to speak to this olim. It was through Or Samech at the time. They had like an adult education something, and I went to give a few talks over there in Detroit. And there was this one talk that I gave. It was like 300, 400 people. They were not religious. They were not Orthodox people. They weren't from people. And I spoke about Tu B'Shvat. That's like one of the safest topics you could talk about, right? Not about chinuch. It's not about yeshivas, right? It's about Tu B'Shvat. Trees, growth. Tu B'Shvat, higia. Like, what could be bad about Tu B'Shvat? It's only about flowers and fruits. And it was like a chassidish talk, very positive, whatever. So afterwards, there was questions and answer. And this lady raises her hand. So what's your name? She says her name. She says, so how does that explain? Isn't it true that Orthodox Jews say every morning in the blessings, thank God that you didn't make me into a woman? So I looked at the rabbi in charge like, is this something I should worry about? I don't know. And then a couple other ladies saying, yeah, what about that? Isn't that true that Orthodox Jews, you know, they saw on TV or something that Orthodox Jews make a blessing? Thank God you didn't make me into a woman. Yeah, what about that? So I spoke about it till I said, okay, it's not a little bit off subject, but okay, it's a question and answer. You can ask anything you like. I spoke a little bit about the bracha, whatever. Okay. We move on. There are a couple of Tu B'Shvat questions about the shmuz. Fine. Then there's an old Jew in the back. Old. And he raises his arm and says, How does that have anything to do with what happened in the war, meaning the Holocaust? So I said, sir, what's your name? He told me his name. I said, do you live through the Holocaust? He said, I did. And I spoke a little bit about whatever I spoke about. I don't remember. But you know, like what's going on? I spoke about fruits and Eretz Yisrael. This lady hears, this guy is Orthodox. He hates women. The other gentleman, there's a much more serious situation there in the back of the room going on than Shlosh Anisha. And you got to be very careful with that. I mean, you got to be careful with both, but I have much more respect, obviously, for that. So he's hearing, oh yeah, what's all this talk about God with the earth and the Jews and the land of Israel? If my parents got killed, if my brother and sister got killed, if my whole life was destroyed, what's he talking about? So everybody heard, there was one voice. I said the same thing. Like I've seen, like this past couple of weeks, I said something in the shmuz that I gave, I got 50,000 different things. And I don't know how you heard that. I don't know how you didn't hear that. And one thing, but shishim riboy. You say something and it comes out. So how is that? How could there be such a thing? If we're wondering, how does Hashem speak? If we're wondering, how does the Baruch Hashem speak to us? And so the Rabbi Nachman says, the tzaddikim say, he speaks to us, but you have to have a lev shomea. And you'll hear things that you're wondering, like any child that would have heard that would have understood it. You didn't understand it. What's wrong? Or why did this lady hear something about that? So the terrace, of course, what's the terrace? The terrace is, she's in pain because of some misunderstanding of what Orthodox Judaism is. That's her Indian. The guy in the back. Okay. So these are two people whose hearts are covered with something. Obviously, again, the guy in the back is a different covering, but it's a thick klipa. So it doesn't make a difference what I'm talking about. If I said the word God, and even the way that I look, you know, when you and I walk into a room, you're wearing a yarmulke, and you walk into a room with people we're not from, they think like you're angry at them. Like, why'd you say that to me? They say, what did I say? They might not say that, but they're thinking like, what's up with this guy? I didn't say anything to you. As a matter of fact, I didn't even notice you. I don't know, what are you talking about? Somebody could be, and I've seen this, somebody could be totally hostile to you. Because of how they hear you. I didn't say that. I said, hello. I didn't say, oh, I'm better than you. You're not religious. Or, oh, the last time you put on film was when you were bar mitzvah, and your grandfather put film on you. I didn't say any of that stuff. I just said, hi. But he's hearing what? Oh, this guy's saying, I'm Orthodox, he's Orthodox, and you didn't put on tefillin since your grandfather, which he feels lousy about. And I'm a reminder that he didn't put on tefillin since his grandfather. So he says, so he answers like, what do you want? Instead of being pleasant. Because he's got something there that he's hearing. I never said that. I never said the words to him. What's the story with your tefillin? How can you not put on tefillin? I never asked him a thing. I just said, how you doing? But that's what he hears. Whereas it goes in the old Simon Garfunkel song, a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. And that's what it is. And even if it's not you want to hear, like the guy in the back did not want to hear, but it's just, you can't hear anything else. As it's a broken heart. The heart has one inyan. By him, it's the Milchama. By her, it's the Shlosh Anisha. And that's there. And because of that, they can't hear how Hashem's Baruch loves you through Tu B'Shvat. They can't hear that. The whole shiur is not about Tu B'Shvat. The whole shiur is not about itself. It's not about how Hashem loves us, how he wants us to grow when he's sending us the sunlight to help us grow, whatever it was. No. Shalos Hanisha and this guy, whatever, Buchenwald, 1943. That's what he's hearing. That's all.
Yes, so I have a question about Lev Shomea. Are you saying that the heart listens and a listening heart is the same thing? Because to me, the latter shows more responsibility and needing to condition your heart to see and feel Hashem versus having a certain heart, like a blood type.
No, I don't mean that. No, it's not a blood type. All of us can work and condition and exercise and work out, just like we could strengthen our hearts by working out physically. We could strengthen our capacity to hear through working out. And working out, davening, Pnimiyus HaTorah, Torah, all Torah, especially Pnimiyus HaTorah, and so on. No, there are a lot of things we could do. And that's what the last chapter is about. Just keep on screaming. Even just keep on screaming. The heart will eventually hear. No, there are lots of great things we could do, exercises too. It's not that somebody has or doesn't have it. It is true that there are certain people that came to the world that you could have a large family, Kananar, and a bunch of kids, and you could see that there are one or two that they just were born with more of a capacity to hear that, and others with less. But everybody can get to it. But there are those that are born with more of a capacity to hear. Yes, the senses are stronger, the antennas are there is such a thing. But every Jew. Is there, and the whole chilik between galus and what's going to happen when Mashiach comes is between having a lev shel evan, a heart of stone, or a fleishigar, it's a lev basa. That's the promise of Mashiach, is that you're not going to have this problem picking up on my words. Right now in galus, when a person has a stone heart, it bounces off. The same way. You're not, there are only certain places you could hear an echo. You can't just, if you say hello in this room, you don't get an echo. Where do you get an echo? I mean, I'm not a maven in acoustics or anything, but I know I had students that came from Persia, from Iran, and they told me that there's a place in Persia where there's some ancient place over there. You go, there's something on a mountaintop, and there's a whatever over there, something, a building, and you go to this spot, and you say hello, and it comes back 7 times. The exact frequency, not hello, hello, hello. Goes back, hello, 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 hello. Tourists go there. I don't know how many other tourist sites you have over there, but there's this place they told me about in Persia that they have such a thing. Why is it that in some places there are echoes? It has to do with the configuration, the openness, closings and openings. All of acoustics has to do with closings and openings. Space has to do with space. Same thing with a heart. There's a heart that's closed and there's a heart that's open. You're not gonna hear an echo if you're in a place that's entirely closed. Can't be. And even then it has to be openings and closings. It's interesting. That's a lot to talk about stuff in that. But everybody can get that echo. Everybody can receive that echo. But you will hear it according to where you're holding in your life. That's the catch. In other words, if you're an angry person, you walk into a room and somebody says something, it'll get you upset. The other person will hear the same thing and say, well, it could be in a marriage. One hears like this, the other one hears like that. The same thing they're talking. He heard this, she heard that. It was the same thing that was said. How is it possible that it's completely different? It's not just a matter of intellect. That's not what Mordechai was looking for from the child. It's not a matter of intellect. It's a lev shomea. A lev shomea. That's why if a person has a heart that is closed to it, it's unhealthy, no matter what you say, you can still get in trouble. That's just how it is. It's an unhealthy heart. And that's what they hear. That's how the frequency is picked up. And that's just picked up. Weird. Twisted. But when a person has the heart of a child, it's a lev shomea, or of a woman, or of a mishigana. It's the Indian of a mishigana. Mishigana, he's not stuck in any Indian. That's the trademark of a mishigana. One minute, he's screaming like this. The next minute, he's on to something else. So he's not meshubed to something. See, the more sophisticated a person is, the more meshubed he is to different things, different sounds, and different voices. So the less likely he is to hear the voice of Hashem, because he's meshubed. That's why many times, Dafka, the intellect gets in the way. So sometimes you'll try to have a conversation about something in Avodas Hashem, Ruchnius, with a person who, like, will say, ah, that's just a lot of fluff. Or what are you talking about? That's not what it means. And he just can't hear it. Because he prides himself on being Mr., you know, intellectual. And you're talking to him the language of, that's not his language. He can't hear it at all. Well, yeah, and he'll hear it eventually. But he can't hear it now because he has a Lev Shel Evan. He has a stone heart. He has a good head, but a heart that's a stone. And because of that, he can't hear it. And he thinks that you're stuck to a shtiyot. What are you talking about? He'll say something like this. This doesn't talk to me. This doesn't speak to me. So I just read to you something from the book. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the oven. Oh, I can't get started with Hanukkah now. There's all Hanukkah. You know, it's not fair. You just do that Hanukkah. It's time to die. But that has nothing to do with IQ. There's something called emotional IQ. That's something else. A lev shomea. Sometimes the smartest people have the dumbest hearts. The dumbest hearts. Smartest people, dumbest heart. And you have some people that are completely uneducated. Pshutim mamish. Pshutim sheva pshutim, but a heart, a lev shomea. You don't have to even open your mouth and they already hear what's hurting you. They look in your eyes and they already feel. I know what's wrong. Come, let's talk. Let's go for a schmooze. Let's take a walk together. And the genius is sitting there. What happened? It's interesting. How Hashem has made us. It's all about Chanukah. Chanukah is the yontiv of a Leib Shomer. It's the yontiv of seeing and hearing without the seichel of Yavin. The seichel of Yavin is cold, lifeless intellect without a Leib Shomer. That's exactly what it is. It can't pick up on this frequency at all. Therefore, it hates Kedusha. It hates anything. Everything is Kedusha, fluff. Everything is Nairishke. That's Yavin. That's Greek. And we're still suffering a lot from that. A lot. It's getting better, but we're still suffering a lot from that. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll hear more next time. We'll continue.
Thank you.
Shkoyach.